you know, whatever out of my last speech. So this time I'm going to be clean so I can save money. All right. Can you see that properly? Can you see the little pig down in the corner? That's the CIA with lipstick on it. You can put lipstick on the pig, but it's still a pig.
That's
something I'm very frustrated. I've spent the last 20 years trying to help governments get in touch with the information they don't have to steal. And what's that? Okay. So the bottom line here is now I've started something new, which is screw governments. We're going to create public intelligence in the public interest. And that's where I'm at. Now, Eric is a late sleeper, so I'm not going to give him the... Okay, I'm done.
We don't know any Eric. We know Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I remember an Emmanuel. I used to get hard when I was, in college on that. But all right, let's see if we can do page down here. You know, this is the old part, the other old part. Okay, page down. There we go. You all will notice that I don't look like Agent Steele. Have you all heard the story about the FBI in Chicago? No? All right. Well, I had flown in from Australia. I had about an hour's sleep, and there's a knock on the door, and it says room service. And I said something to the effect of, please go away. And there was a pause, and then FBI. And so I got up. I was naked and pissed off. And outside the door were two football captains and a prom queen. And this was the new generation of the FBI. They quickly discovered that I wasn't Agent Steele. And so we moved on from there. But I've always had a soft spot in my heart for him because of that encounter. I'm fucked up. What is the matter with this thing? All right, hold on. I realize I'm pushing the wrong button now. That's what she said. It's all right. We'll get this right eventually. Okay. Page down. Oh, there's a button called end right below page down. All right.
The song by Jim Morrison.
All right. Now, I can't do justice to, let's see if that works. That's even better. The arrow I can understand. I can't do justice to all that has happened here. And I'm going to give some gifts to Emmanuel at the beginning of Spy Improv after he's had his breakfast. But the bottom line is I was deeply honored to open this conference looking like this, but with a tie. And there were strobe lights and Jell-O Biafra. Jell-O Biafra? Is that the right name? It's a country. Isn't it a really fucked up country in Africa someplace? Okay. Anyway, Jell-O was the voiceover, and we had this Big Brother thing. Little did we imagine in 1994. Now, I'm going to be... Oh, this is... it's kind of neat, the juxtaposition of the Scotland Yard hat with the Hope logo. And then that's the medal that I'm going to be giving him, a lifetime medal, one of 12. So I'm going to be fire-hosing you. I'm going to try and present to you in 50 minutes... where we're going to try and take anyone who wants to join us in the next 20. May I live so long. But even if I don't live another day, I think that we're on our way. This is a wonderful DVD, the Blu-ray by BBC. And the whole point of this is to start creating citizen intelligence minutemen and women. We're going to kick some institutional ass with true cost accounting. Creative Commons. I have been ripped off by every major corporation in Washington for the last 20 years. They steal my ideas. They implement them in grotesque ways that are not cost effective. and they have profited from being stupid and without honor. Now, for those of you that don't know me, oil brat, 16 years in Latin America and Asia, 8 more later, Marine Corps Infantry Command and Staff, recovering CIA spy, 3 field tours, 1 chasing terrorists. We're still totally fucked up on chasing terrorists, but we have 1 million Americans on the watch list. Of course not. 2 master's degrees. Actually, the Joint Fusion Centers, highly classified facilities where we're supposed to be sharing information with the states, they're closing down. They can't find any terrorists. And there's no need for any of the secret information because it's totally irrelevant in Podunk, Idaho, where the terrorist is Joe after 7 beers. Okay? Yeah, actually, well, no. We have a village idiot and a war criminal running the government, but okay. Open source intelligence lead. Does everyone know what open source intelligence is? Okay, open source intelligence is decision support that is based solely on legal and ethical sources and methods. This is not rocket science. General Zinni, who was the director, the commander of the Central Command until Bush and Cheney came in, has gone on record as saying that only 4% of his command knowledge came from secret sources and methods. 80% came from open sources and methods, and the other 16%, if he knew where to look, meaning who to ask from among the 60 nations, the coalitions, it came from open communication. In passing, I'm the number 1 Amazon reviewer for nonfiction, and that's going to play a big role in spy improv, because I'm going to try and connect as many people as show up with real-world nonfiction. Finally, I'm the advocate for the Earth Intelligence Center, and I'm the world's most pissed-off end user. Yeah. Oh, no, believe me. Sometimes it costs me $3,000 at a time.
As I say, better pissed off than pissed on, right?
Yeah. Now, what I'm gonna talk to you about today is the Earth Intelligence Network. I and 23 other co-founders, including John Raymer, who's behind Intera, and some other very good people, have come together, and we've created a social, technical, and financial plan for harnessing the distributed intelligence of the whole Earth. This is something I've been working on for 20 years, but I didn't have my culminating moment until I realized I had to turn my back on all governments. So this is our high-level overview. It's delivered for the very first time to a group of very high-quality people. And I just want to say it's been an honor for me, and I don't think this is the last hope. But if this hotel doesn't get torn down, maybe we could start with the first MOPE, which is the movement on planet Earth, where you shit out all the bad and you keep the good. I thought of that as I was preparing for this meeting. Now, based on my broad reading, these are the key negative trends, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. But in fact, complex societies are collapsing. And Charles Perrow said it best in Living with High-Risk Technology, said, simple systems have single points of failure. And I'm saying this not for you, but for the people that will watch the DVD, all 3 of them. But simple systems have single points of failure that are easy to diagnose and easy to fix. Complex systems have multiple points of failure that interact in complex ways on the way down, are very difficult to diagnose and extremely difficult to fix. Well, we live in a society of extremely complex systems, all built by the lowest bidder with the least ethics. Okay? So we're fucked. And the problem with the information age is that, unlike the agriculture and the industrial age, it doesn't degrade gracefully. It's either black or white. It's either on or off. And the story that the media is not covering today is the spread of blackouts, the spread of energy shortages and brownouts and so forth. They're also not properly covering the loss of water, but we'll talk about that another time. These acts of God are acts of man. The more we cement over floodplains, the more we ignore the natural nature of the earth, the more severe and the more frequent will be our natural disasters. And our government, as Katrina amply demonstrated, is simply clueless. Changes on the earth that used to take 10,000 years now take 3, which means we have to get to real-time science, but the extremist Republicans and the American fascists, there's a book by that name, have been waging war on science. They can't deal with reality. Finally, we have shock capitalism. Naomi Klein is one of my favorite authors. She's really done a good job, both with No Logo and shock capitalism. And I have to tell you, about 5 years ago, Wall Street realized that the only profits it was going to make were on the way down. They already know this stuff. These aren't stupid people. These are really, really smart people. And the hedge funds are starting to bet on collapse. And that's why they all have hideouts in Dubai, which is the new Switzerland, where Dick Cheney has 70 non-virgins waiting for him.
At least they're experienced.
What?
Well, if they're non-virgins, at least they're experienced.
Yeah, using the term loosely. Okay, political corruption is ascendant, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on that. Now the good news, and I am somewhat of an optimist, is that there are positive countervailing trends. They cannot put all of us in jail. No, I've been promised that no arrests will be made until I'm done speaking on Saturday, at which time I expect to be arrested with you, and it will be an honor. Now, Yochai Benkler has written a brilliant book called Wealth of Networks, and Lawrence Lessig, who's a lot smarter than I am, has been raving about it, which is why I bought it and read it. And in essence, God bless Richard Stallman, the open source software model is scalable and extendable to everything we do. And I'll be talking about that a little bit. However, we're coming off 600 years of negative, and the forces of evil are seriously entrenched. Retaking our government, our planet, will require extreme hacking. Okay? Good news, regardless of who wins, I mean, both of these guys are clowns. Okay? Obama is a rube. He's arrogant. He grew up on the south side of Chicago, which makes Tammany Hall look like a really nice girl from upper New York. And John McCain, God bless him, is an honorable man with a bunch of clowns for staff. And these guys are trading sound bites and platitudes. They don't have a holistic architecture, which I'll get into here. And they literally are unfit to lead. They've qualified to run for president, but they're unfit to govern because they don't have open minds, they don't listen, they don't have a model of analysis, they don't really understand how to create a balanced budget. All they want to do is get through 4 years and then 8 years of all the perks and hopefully keep their head up their ass. Bad news. Nothing the United States or Europe do in the next 4 to 10 years will make a difference unless we create a model that Brazil, China, India, Indonesia, Iran, Russia, Venezuela, and wild cards like the Congo, which is as big as the United States, unless we create a model that they can adopt that will create 7 billion billionaires without consuming the earth. That's the end game for me in the next 10 years. Before we begin, this would be funny if it were not so tragic and true. I'm intimately familiar with the U.S. intelligence community and its budget. We are wasting $60 billion, and this is the low number. It might be as high as $75 billion. We're wasting $60 billion a year or more on the 4% we can steal. Now, I created this slide in 1994, and it's still valid. We still are not connecting, and this is my third book, All Information in All Languages All the Time. We're still not connecting. This is just idiocy. Believe it or not, there is still no place in the U.S. government where everything we know comes together. Able Danger was a very fine program which did not violate the law, but we had a chicken shit general who now runs NSA, and chicken shit lawyers who, lawyers, by the way, in the U.S. government, when they don't know the answer, they say you can't do it. That tends to actually do a lot of bad things. But we don't have anywhere where we can make sense of all of the information. Can you see this in the back? Okay, then I'll read it. It says, all of our data is grossly inaccurate, but I need data in order to manage. The second frame says, if I concentrate hard enough, I can forget that the data is bad, then I can use it. And the third frame says, I have to give him credit. Managing is harder than it looks. Okay? I'm not making this up. We actually have people in the U.S. government, including the National Ground Intelligence Center and everywhere else, who are, their sole job is to fabricate data, to falsify data, to manipulate data so that we can buy systems we don't need at costs we cannot afford. Okay? That's the reality. Now, I've given a lot of thought to this. These are the seven generations of warfare. And if you guys in the back can't see, I can't help you unless you move forward. But this is really disgusting. And I have to tell you, believe it or not, the U.S. military is at best in the fourth generation. I'm in the seventh generation. I work every day in 183 languages, and my secret is little Filipino boys who'll do anything for a beer. Okay? Don't go there. The rest of the government, the civilian government, is still in first generation. The U.S. government is not actually there to make decisions and create policy in the public interest. They're there to protect budget share and represent the corporate stakeholders against we the people. And the only way we're going to beat them is by eliminating the information asymmetries and the apathy that characterizes our nation. Now, Steve Arnold of Arnold IT has for over a decade been my most reliable source on IT trends and tribulations. And he created this slide, less the Google portion. And for those of you in the back who I mean, if you're having fun back there and you don't need me, just say so. But this is his slide. That's the universe of information. Search finds the little yellow stuff. Your C drive and everything else finds green, and then text mining. Now, Google now has, and there are two books or analytic studies out. One is called Google something or other, and then, the Google Legacy. And then the second book is called Google 2.0, The Calculating Predator. Steve is a genius at finding patents that have been registered in obscure ways. The fact is Google now has a programmable search engine so that you will only see what someone else has paid for you to see. In my book, that makes Google just as evil as Microsoft, perhaps more so, because they're dealing with the substance of knowledge. Yeah, but if you look at the chapter and he talked about search engines, there's 75 search engines, at least. And most of them aren't worth a shit, okay? Yeah, I know, but let's get through this brief, okay? We got 4 hours tomorrow night. I'll expect to see you there. The reality here is that we're completely out of touch with everything we know. We're out of touch with historical knowledge, with cultural knowledge, with knowledge in other languages. And so forth. So tomorrow night, I'll answer any and all questions about Google, Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, and other actors. I had the word losers here, but I took it out. Processing quadrants. Okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. There's a whole bunch of guys like Nova Spivak going around saying there's this web 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, and all of it basically assumes machine learning. Well, machine learning was oversold in the 1980s, and it's oversold today. And I'll just drive that point home by saying that Jim Bamford, who's written two wonderful books on the National Security Agency, using only open sources. Bamford, his second book, after reviewing the trillions of dollars that NSA has wasted trying to create supercomputers and artificial intelligence and heuristics, it cost CIA $3,000 for me to learn that word. It means rules of thumb. The fact is that Jim ends his book by saying that one day with another $1 trillion, NSA may finally create the ultimate computer which is a very small computer, takes almost no energy, and can do petaflop calculations per nanosecond. And the last three words in his book are the human brain. Okay? So my job is to put CIA and Google out of business by turning away from technology being substituted for thinking and having thinking substituted for technology. And that's what the Earth Intelligence Network is all about. So what is the Earth Intelligence Network? It's a strategic vision for waging peace and assuring prosperity and dignity for all. And one of the things I've learned from a wonderful book called The Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid is that the only way to save the billion at the top is by empowering the 5 billion at the bottom. We have to turn them into a wealth creation engine. And C.K. Prahalad is the one who taught me that. EIN is an infinitely scalable concept of operations for connecting dots to people and people to people. EIN is an information technology platform for creating the world brain, .net, .org, .edu, and .com. EIN is an analytic framework for creating public intelligence in the public interest. And finally, it's a tool for empowering the public everywhere, ending rule by secrecy with online transparent budgets at every level of governance, including global. We are the ultimate open source meme. We own nothing, we control nothing, we earn nothing. I've been very happily unemployed for the last 7 months. I will answer detailed questions tomorrow night. Now, I remind you, this brief is online at www.oss.net/EIN in caps, and you'll see that at the end of the brief also. And I'm planning to use most of the time here. I'll answer questions outside afterwards. This is our strategic vision. There's a 10-page PDF at the website, earth-intelligence.net. We have allowed our governments to ignore reality, our corporations to externalize costs. Let me make a point. Exxon did not make $40 billion in profit. For every gallon of gas that we buy for $4, they externalize $12 in costs to the planet and future generations. Now, how is it that there is nobody making this point on any outlet in this country? I'll tell you why. Number one, they don't know it. And number two, even if they did know it, they wouldn't be allowed to say it because they're bought and paid for. And of course, our media has been stupid and our churches are allowed to cheat and molest instead of healing. Gandhi had it right. Peace is cheaper than war and a lot more fun. More on that as we go. Yeah, right. Don't go there either. All right. Now, a great deal of thought went into this. And for those of you in the back, the top is sustainable, sensible future. Then you got serious games for change, nonpartisan policy, key concepts, public intelligence, geospatial foundation. And the glue is memetics and transitional facilitation, whatever that means. I think it means huggy, holding hands, and having open meetings and open space and all that good stuff. Now, before I take you to the next slide, which is very complicated, I want to do public interest math 101. A document has recently surfaced through Columbia University here in New York City. It's the game plan that the Republicans developed in the late 1980s for buying the U.S. government back. And they essentially created a plan with a budget of $300 million that would entrench the right kind of Republican. I'm a moderate Republican leaning toward libertarian. This is the extremist Republicans now. They came up with a plan, and they executed it, and they won. They bought, from schoolhouse to White House, they bought our government because we weren't paying attention. Now look at the math here. Cost to beat them at their own game is roughly $500 million. 500 million divided by 25 million citizens is $20 a year for a Liberty subscription. 5 million people at $100 a year, same thing. I tested this out on various people. I said, screw 100, we'll give you 500. Okay, and that's a different class of people that's employed, but still. I think this is very, very important. There's absolutely no reason why we cannot create an international technical, financial, and social platform that not only buries governments, but buries Google. And I, if any of you really love Google, I apologize for offending. Now this is it. I'm sorry it's so complicated, but the bottom line is that at the very top you can mobilize peer-to-peer financial power. And you can then feed that into a technical infrastructure that essentially empowers all websites, all substance, in ways that allow the aggregate to be instantly available to everybody. And there's a lovely little line at the very bottom that I'll read. It basically is a spectrum of sticky integrated services, internet, public intelligence, public policy forums, serious games, and real-world budgets. I was taught by my seniors at OMB that it's not policy until it's the budget. It's in the budget, and then the budget has been executed. These two presidential candidates are basically slinging carefully crafted pieces of crap at each other and at us. And these things have absolutely no foundation in reality, no foundation in a balanced budget. These guys don't even have a cabinet preformed. I mean, you know, for McCain to rely on Graham as his economic advisor, holy shit. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but these are 18 functionalities that we knew we needed in 1986. And they begin with ingestion technologies and then sense-making technologies or capabilities, functionalities, and then sharing and stuff. I'm a member of the West Coast Hackers, the Silicon Valley Hackers group that started with the Homebrew Club, and Stuart Brand started it, and today Larry Page and I avoid each other at this meeting, or maybe he avoids me, but I try not to get in his way out of respect. Microsoft has been using first-rate marketing to sell second-rate crap, and they have also migrated their application program interfaces over the year, and you know this better than I, and the bottom line is they have completely destroyed the ability to innovate on the edges of the network. And so I think we need to be committed to integrating open-source software, open source intelligence, and open spectrum. And all three need to be in the service of, by, and for we the people. Now that's a little complicated, but this is what we actually have now. There's no reason why you can't set this up tomorrow for your neighborhood. There's no reason why your neighborhood can't become a smart neighborhood in which you are sharing. You have a shared directory, shared calendar, virtual shared budget. There's no reason why, with all of the volunteer hours that we have, every budget decision coming forward that impacts on your neighborhood can be presented to your neighborhood. And here in the U.S., most people are on the internet, but for those who aren't, there can be coffee shops and places like that where you can undertake to brief people who don't have the access. Has anyone heard of Tuzel? Okay. Tuzel was created by a double PhD, Dr. Dave Warner. He's both a PhD and a medical doctor. He's one of a small handful of people that have been funded by DARPA for the last several years. You can Google for, or Yahoo for, as I do. I know, it's a small thing, but Yahoo for Strong Angel. You'll find Strong Angel 3, and there you will find Tuzel. And you can download it, and you can play with it, and you can augment it. What DARPA and these guys realized is that any time a crisis happens in Haiti or anywhere else, all kinds of people come in, and their C4I systems, their command, control, communications, computing, and intelligence or information systems, they're all incompatible. So what they created is something that fits on a thumb drive that allows you to be immediately up and running as part of a local area or wide area network. And I'm not a technical person, but I think that's a pretty cool concept. And I would love to see HOPE, MOPE, whatever, move toward the content side of the house, toward the sharing and the sense-making side of the house. Because ultimately, that will call into question every government decision being made. Now, I've known Dick Clavins and Brad Ashford for a long time. This comes from their website, Maps of Science. And this particular slide, if you choose to download the briefing from the internet, this particular slide is very, very high resolution, and it allows you to drill down to the connections and so forth. So right now what's happening is that cognitive science, which has been struggling for years, is slowly starting to get a grip on the fact that maybe it's about humanity, not about science. And at the same time, collective intelligence with big pushes from guys like Tom Atlee, the author of Tao of Democracy, George Poor, and many others. We have a book that I'll talk about in a minute. Collective intelligence, which is us sharing and sense-making and agreeing on consensus that is long-term sustainable, that's starting to emerge as a force in its own right, completely apart from science or anything else. The world brain exists today. We don't need Web 3.0, 4.0, 2.0, whatever. We have a world brain today. It's just beyond schizophrenic. Now, I bought 3 URLs 10 years ago, and I own them for the next 10 years, and we're in the process of working with the university to get the .edu URL. But we have a concept for creating a very low-tech means for allowing every neighborhood, every municipality, every county, every state, every government, every issues group to actually start becoming intelligent. Okay, I mean, I love Paul Hawken and the folks that created WISER, World Index of Environmental and Social Responsibility. But the fact is, WISER right now is just one big database of people who have entered their stuff, and there's nothing you can do with it that I can see. So we need to get to where we can do stuff. Now comes the substance, the meat of how we take back the planet and our government. I had an epiphany, that's the Republican word for aha, experience, about 2 years ago when the UN High-Level Threat Panel reported out, and General Scowcroft was a member of that panel, and they said, these are the 10 high-level threats to humanity. And I said, yeah, well, I mean, for me, this was not a surprise, but for George Bush and Dick Cheney, who believe that terrorism is the only threat, this was a little disconcerting if they ever gave it any thought. Poverty, infectious disease, environmental degradation. What is so interesting about those three threats is that they don't recognize borders. Okay? If we allow massive poverty in Africa, it eventually creeps into Asia, I mean into Europe. Same thing with Indonesia. For a while there, the Australians were planting bombs on boats so that the Indonesians would blow up and drown before they reached Australian waters. Okay? There's a lot of really serious stuff going on out there that nobody is really seeing and capturing. But this caused me to realize that we have to create a global network of, by, and for we the people. Because if we don't do this, if we don't help all the other people get in touch with knowledge and create wealth and so forth, then those of our children that survive will be destined to an airlock kind of environment. And this, I've known this for a long time, but the intelligence community is having a real problem coming to grips with the reality that most of what we need to know is not secret, not expensive, and not available to the federal government. Okay. Ooh. So, in 1994, I made a round-the-world trip at my own expense. It was great. United has this deal where for $5,000 you can make as many stops in Asia as you want and still be in business class. But anyway, Singapore is the only country on the planet that listened to me. I met with the National Computer Board in Singapore in 1994, and today Singapore is the world's first smart nation. And there's a really neat initiative between Singapore and MIT called the SMART Initiative. The Nordics, Norway, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, they're slightly behind Singapore, and then the Netherlands is coming up fast. The United States is now a third world country in just about every possible way that you can imagine. And that's shameful. In the USA, Homeland Security, Charlie Allen, who's the senior member of my very small fan club, he's the undersecretary of Homeland Security for intelligence and analysis. All he does is focus on terrorism. And I tried to say in an email, I say, look, You know, Homeland Security is about poverty, infectious disease, environmental degradation. We've got to start controlling the developers. One of the things, and this is a side note, but I want to put it in here. I read a book called Hunting with Jesus after Barack Obama's famous statement about how, you know, these poor suckers, they eat and drink and shoot because they don't have anything else. Well, it turns out he's partly right. And I'll come to a health slide in a few minutes. But the reality is, if we allow developers to continue to pave over floodplains, we're going to have more floods, severe, everything, okay? So we've got to get our act together. Now, General Scowcroft, who I happen to think is the last adult left in Washington, and I hope he lives for at least several more years, that inspired me. And so I have, and maybe tonight I'll show a picture of my library and my map table. But I went back through all of the Mandate for Change books for the last five or six presidential elections. These are where all these cabinet secretary wannabes write these little learned 10-pagers of how we can save humanity by giving me this job. And I realized that there are 12 core policy areas. And today, these 12 core policy areas are represented by agricultural by secretaries of the cabinet who want to do nothing more than protect budget share and protect vested stakeholder interests, meaning mega farms. The guys that that create massive cattle farms where the shit gets into the spinach and then the spinach gets into the tomatoes and, you know the story, okay? So agriculture's out of control. So is diplomacy. I mean, I think Condi Rice has invented pissant diplomacy, a new term of the art. It's totally irrelevant. The economy, education, energy, family, health, all of these things are related. You should not use water you don't have to grow grain you don't need to fill a gallon of ethanol gas at a cost of like 1,700 gallons of water per gallon. Okay? This is what's called true cost accounting. We don't do it, although Paul Hawken and the Natural Capital Institute and others have. I mean, family, health, education, all of this is integrated. I found out in Hunting with Jesus, and this is why I wanted to bring it up here, that across America we have all these small town fiefdoms in which the elite, the Chamber of Commerce, the City Planning Council, people like that, they cut deals with corporations. They give them public land at a gross discount. They give them tax breaks they have no right to give. And then in consequence, they also keep everyone in that little fiefdom uneducated and medicated on beer and Twinkies, okay? And so what we have all across America is some shithead elites that are screwing over the population, because there's no one there saying, hey, wait a minute, we're the public, not you. So we've basically handed over our birthright to a bunch of people that now feel privileged and entitled. I mean, I'm not worried about the entitlements at the bottom. I'm worried about the entitlements at the top. Okay? We need to cut those people off at the knees. Most information is not secret, but the U.S. government doesn't really get that. I've made this point earlier. Nothing we do, nothing, is going to matter unless we create an earth game and a model that can be reasonable, and not just a whole of government, but a whole of America model that can be migrated to Brazil and China and so forth. And they have to want to take it, okay? Jonathan Schnell has written a wonderful book called Unconquerable World, which is correct. Chalmers Johnson has written Sorrows of Empire. But the bottom line here is we can't force anybody to do anything. Iraq is the last really stupid war, I hope. And I was in Vietnam, and Vietnam was a similarly stupid war. And now literature is surfacing that says we knew going into Vietnam that it would be a 10 or 15-year war and that we'd have 50,000 casualties, but it was considered good enough to completely justify the rebuilding of the U.S. military. And that's what Iraq is doing, is basically completely justifying the rebuilding of the U.S. military. And that's just nuts. So here it is all put together. policies on the left, threats on the left, policies across the top, and the players three-dimensional going back. This is what our analytic model looks like. And this one graphic makes clear both the idiocy, if not the mendaciousness, of the past 8 years, and the platitudinous nonsense that both of the presidential candidates are presenting to us today. And I will tell you very candidly that I thought so much of Obama that I drove to Des Moines, and the hotel was full up, and a woman of color at the desk realized that what I was doing was important. She put me in one of the two rooms next to Obama that the Secret Service had blocked. And then at 3 in the morning, I created a special memo for Obama, and there was a Secret Service officer of color there with me, and I showed it to him. I gave my SSN. I said, look, I'm going to sneak past you guys and put this under his door, okay? And after he read the memo, he said, okay, this is good. I put it under his door. I don't think Obama ever read it. I have come to the conclusion that Obama is a house Negro, that he is a slick, arrogant, non-player, and that as good as he is as a human being, and I love his wife. I think his wife is extremely smart, and I think she should never have taken shit for saying, for the first time as an adult, I'm proud of my country. Everybody knows we're proud of our country in theory, but America, right or wrong, is a stupid, fucked up idea, okay? And so I found out very recently, Webster Tarpley Griffin has written a wonderful book called Obama, the Postmodern Coup. Obama is Jimmy Carter's second life, with Brzezinski, a Pole, having one more war with Russia in him. You elect Obama, you're electing Brzezinski, and you are picking war with Russia, and Brzezinski's so stupid these days, he's getting senile, he thinks he can push the Chinese out of the Southern Hemisphere. Well, yes, you can, because McCain's going to die, and then his vice president becomes president. No. Let's talk about that. All right, we'll talk about that at Spy Improv. At Spy Improv, we'll do that, okay? I actually have a McCain sticker on my thing, but I'm actually betting on Bloomberg, not running, but funding someone to run, and I'm eligible. I'm volunteering. I don't think I will ever be elected president, but nothing would give me greater pleasure than to put Spy Improv into the presidential debates. Yeah. You want to see evil? All right, or good, whatever. Now, I inserted this slide to make a point. I was having a talk with some people. PricewaterhouseCoopers has issued a report recently, which is on my website, which documents that 50% of what we spend in the health industry is waste. Okay? It's waste. Now, at the same time, I know some really smart people who have very discreetly been going on all over the world, and I know that I can eliminate the Medicare unfunded deficit, period. I can take it off the books. Because the stuff we pay for, $600 here in the U.S., and we pay $60 in Canada, they pay $6 in South Africa. Okay? And the only reason we're paying $600 is because the pharma people bribed Congress to say the U.S. government cannot negotiate for prices. But at the same time, pharma is not the answer. Pharma and surgical intervention ought to be the last. And let me tell you how to make any doctor shit in his pants after he's proposed surgery to you. Just say, is this evidence-based? We have so damn much elective surgery and surgery that has absolutely no foundation. I mean, I like John Edwards as a good human being, but he got his millions by putting good doctors in jail or impoverishment so that bad doctors could do more operations that women didn't need. Okay? And this is the kind of public intelligence that we have to bring up and push out. God, I feel like a kung fu artist, you know? So this is a little model that I created one afternoon talking to these people. Healthy lifestyle. Okay, these people are getting fat on Twinkies for, among many other reasons, we're not holding these companies accountable for the true cost of what they're selling. Okay, the true cost of water, sweatshop labor, calories, all kinds of crap. The pesticides, the stuff that's in the food that we eat is unregulated. It's virtually unregulated. Of course, but that's a simple, that's very plain. The fact of the matter is that the U.S. government should be guaranteeing a healthy lifestyle, otherwise eat local, okay, which is a meme that's coming up, eat local, home rule, so on. Healthy environment. I mean, it is not healthy to live in this country, with the exception of Colorado, and maybe Vermont and Oregon, and portions of Washington. No, Lower Manhattan is where the aliens live. Natural alternative remediation. I mean, Chinese medicine is starting to come really, really big among the really, really wealthy, because the really, really wealthy can afford good information. And they're starting to figure out that there are so many different ways. And in fact, it turns out that Chinese medicine is best as a pain reliever, so that you don't do pharma, okay? And of course, Chinese medicine is also best. I had a meeting with a guy who was saying acid reflux. They wanted to give him all these things and surgical intervention. He went to both a Chinese and an Indian doctor, and they said, asshole, don't eat meat after 12 and stop drinking caffeine. All right? So there is a lot of common sense out there. There is a lot of good knowledge, but that good knowledge is being censored. There's a book that I reviewed called Fog Facts. We know this, but we don't know this. We don't teach our kids in school. I mean, school still, industrial prison, you know, whatever. Don't get me going. And then finally, we have medical tourism and telemedicine and a whole bunch of other things that we can do instead of checking into the world's most expensive, most diseased hospitals on the planet. Okay, you're guaranteed to walk out with 3 for 1. Okay, you come in with one disease, you leave with 3. Okay, so this is a book that I'm thinking, I'm toying with publishing this book soon. And I'll just leave it up for a minute. But essentially, health intelligence, this book here gives you an idea of how we should be thinking about health as a national security, national prosperity issue. I absolutely guarantee you, neither McCain nor Obama nor anyone working for them has a goddamn fucking clue, that's gonna cost me $100, of how to do this. These guys are zombies. And so are we, except for the people in this room, okay? Out there are the unwashed people who are just going through life, they're gerbils on a wheel, okay? And it's kind of sad. However, I'm somewhat optimistic. I believe that in the next 10 years, we can create an Earth game and a global network for sharing information and for multicultural sense making that will provide the 8 challengers with compelling, truthful, and useful policy and budget support. I'm very close to the end. We will have time for a few questions. Singapore is where I believe I want to put my center of gravity, although New York would do nicely well if Brooklyn would give us space, because they speak 150 languages in Brooklyn. Okay, in the Bronx, I'm not sure they speak anything. I do something like that. Please forgive me, those 3 of you from the Bronx.
They're still processing what they just heard.
All right, now, here's the deal. Our gift of life to our children and future generations must be a gift of the Earth Intelligence Network and the Earth Game of, by, and for all of the people all of the time. And that doesn't just mean us, it means everybody else. I gave an invited rant at Paul Allen's Interval Corporation back in 1993, I think it was, or 94. Rob Tao, who's also a member of the West Coast Silicon Valley Hackers thing, invited me. And I'm still very proud of that rant. It's called God, Man, and Interval. And you can find it easily on the internet. And I basically said, all your fancy technology ain't shit unless it can help a pregnant mother in India move the ball forward. And so this is where we need to go, okay? We're in the process now. The United States is at least 6 different, maybe 9 different societies And I hate to tell this to you, but you're on the lifeboat with a really big hole and sharks all around. And I'm not sure we're going to survive, but I'm moderately optimistic. I think we can do this. I think we can bury secrecy. I think we can bury spending on war that we can't afford and don't need. And I think we can, in fact, wage peace, as I used to call this in the 90s, information peacekeeping. Now, Medard Gabell was Buckminster Fuller's assistant in creating the World Game, an analog game. And I have funded him this past 2 years. My wife's still pissed at me. I basically spent my profit for the last 2 years on creating the Earth Intelligence Network, and then I became unemployed for 7 months, and I can't understand why she's mad. You know, it's like that Crocodile Dundee, you know, where he goes for a walkabout for 18 months and his wife leaves me. And Sue says, "Silly woman." And he says, "Yeah." You know, anyway, it's hard. But Medard is creating a system. He's got the architecture. And the reason we can't build on the serious games that now exist, which I asked him, why can't we plug and play? He said that would be like trying to connect football, soccer, baseball, cricket, and chess all in one game.
Football.
Yeah, whatever. But the point is that if you create a platform that has standards, then you can create generative new games on the edges that will interact and relate. You can create new information modules and things like that. So we have him positioned where for $2 million a year, he can build the Earth game. And it won't cost that anything more than that. All these people that say you need more is not. And the problem is DOD is in the process of spending much more than that to create a world simulation where they decide what you're thinking. And this is kind of scary. Online budgets, like the National Budget Simulation, will be embedded so that individuals can go in, identify themselves only by their zip code and their political preference. Okay, we even have Biafran in there. And then they can see the aggregate result of their deliberations, appreciative inquiry, online stuff. I don't know if you guys are in touch with the Seattle tree huggers that are doing all this Citizen Wisdom Council stuff, but I'll talk about that tomorrow night also. But the bottom line is we the people have more common sense. I could run this government better with a guy, a book was written about him, The Average American, and he's so cool that when the guy finally went back to him after 2 years and said, "You're the average American," the guy said, "Wow, what an honor." And that's cool. He intuitively got it. So there you have it. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but E.O. Wilson and Lester Brown and Medard Gabell, who's publishing a book, 7 Billion Billionaires, soon. I mean, for what we spent in Vietnam, we could have built a two-story cinder block house and a swimming pool for every single Vietnamese. And lest you think ill of the CIA, let me tell you that when Johnson decided that he had to wage war in Vietnam in order to keep his social program alive, the CIA desk officer in the analytics side said, "Oh, my God." He said, "Ho Chi Minh is a nationalist. He is not a communist. Ngo Dinh Diem is a Catholic dictator. Madame Nu set the class on world bitch until Hillary Clinton came along behind the lines." I'm sorry. I had to do that. I planned that. But no, Nu was a murderess. Now, there are people that say that Hillary has been involved in 50 murders. You can find that on the website. A lot of Clinton's security detail has been offed. In the past 15 years. I say this seriously and with gravity. A lot of his people who were intimately familiar with him and his personal preferences and desires after hours are now not on this planet. You heard it here first, maybe. So this is a real budget. Now, I created this for Wikimania 2006, I think. I won't spend a lot of time on it since we've got 6 minutes left. But I do want to say that it's unfortunate that Jeff Bezos and John Chambers and Larry Page and Jimbo Wales don't play well with one another. Okay? They're really playground bullies in their own way. And Jeff Bezos, I lectured to standing room only. IBM and Microsoft got 150 each. Most people got 15 to 30. I had over 300, including five vice presidents, I think. And I pitched Amazon on creating the world brain. where the top authors on poverty become the Global Intelligence Council on Poverty, and everybody who's interested in poverty all over the world becomes the local observer and sense maker on poverty. Didn't want to hear it. It wasn't in outer space, and it wouldn't fit on Kindle. I'm very frustrated. You guys actually make me feel good. This is my happy face. Okay. I don't like Steven Seagal, but that's the one piece of acting that was decent. Okay. Now, coming to a close, we have an advantage. The world is starting to realize after Katrina, 9/11, other things, that in fact we're in crisis. We have another advantage. This is called Epoch B leadership. The future is here now, and it's about bottom-up multicultural decision-making. And I think that the highest caller for any hacker is to research and post the true cost information about any product or service. And my dream is to convert the educational system so that we do that. Now, I've read Stallman's book. I listened to him 2 years ago. Microsoft is certainly a continuing big part of the problem. We have got to get to open APIs, open source software, open source intelligence, and open spectrum, and screw whether the government wants to do it or not. That's what ham radio operators did. They were the first hackers. Okay? Now, this is my model. This is what I use to explain to really stupid generals why open source intelligence matters. The government, the clandestine human intelligence guys, which I used to be, they try and recruit a player to drop the ball or catch it on command. SIGINT plants a listening device in the dugout and tries to call the game that way. Imagery intelligence takes a picture of the ball field every 3 days and tries to predict the game that way. Measurements and signals intelligence sniffs for the ball and tries to predict its direction, and then when it fails, asks for 10 billion more. Open source intelligence changes the rules of the game. Any catch by any member of the crowd is an out, and we offer to buy the ball back at low cost. That's how we handle the information explosion. Everybody gets to play. Everybody knows that there is a benefit, a tangible benefit, volunteer, prestige, whatever. This is a winning order of battle, and it's the only order of battle that will scale and adapt to meet the diverse, unpredictable challenges that we face. So open spectrum, open money, open everything. I tried to get Admiral McConnell. Admiral Studeman told him he should listen to me. I spent a long time preparing a one-pager for the DNI. Its essence said, launch a lifeboat. If you're not using open source intelligence to judge the return on investment on all the classified disciplines, you're screwed. He didn't get it. He's a good man, but he's just, you don't know what you don't know. And these people are on autopilot. So these are four reforms in need of the open, and you can look at this later. But basically, open source information has something to do with each of these. Self-rule by non-transpartisan transparency is our deal. If I were running for president, I would be talking about our deal, and I would not be telling you what our policy is. I would be asking you what our policy should be. Okay? Neither McCain nor Obama get that. Electoral reform right now is the only big issue. Voting on weekends, instant runoffs. I'm planning to listen to the electoral thing because those machines are totally hosed. Okay? And even if they weren't hosed, okay, for the Ohio Republican Secretary of State to put all the good machines in the rich districts and put all the shitty machines in the black districts, so that people have to stand in line for 7 hours, this is, as my teenager would say, a clue that something's wrong. Okay? It's terrible. You are all, as hackers, pushing the edge of the envelope, and I'm very proud to have been one of the first people to really understand that and to speak on that behalf. And in fact, there's a PBS, I just found a PBS interview with me. If you look up Robert Steele, Spy Hacker, PBS, you'll get it. I was smart back in 1994. Really, pushing the edge of the envelope. And in my view, we need to terminate this kind of we are our own little community, and we need to go out there and infect everybody else. So this is our first book, Collective Intelligence, Creating a Prosperous Planet at Peace. As with all of my books, it's available free online. The direct URL is www.oss.net/CIB. Now, to the right is something my son and I devised. And with a tip of the hat to Jolt Cola, I believe we can dare to want it all. We are one. And I'm not the person that originated that concept, but I absolutely agree. And, oh, by the way, I want to go back and say on the public intelligence thing with a tip of the hat to Nat at O'Reilly, open source, and this is so cool, I have to use it. Open source is Darwinism, while proprietary malware and secrecy are intelligent design that is not so intelligent. I love that line. Nat at O'Reilly is the originator of that line. Now, I brought 120 copies of this latest book, and they're going to sell them half price at the desk for $20. And I also brought some illustration copies of the other books, which two people each can sign up for, and then they'll stay and they'll be given to them tomorrow at the beginning of Spy Improv. I love what I do. I will speak for sushi. And God bless every single one of you. Thank you. And time's up. See you tomorrow night, if you choose.
Right.
I have to
just follow him, and he'll answer questions.
Pull the power cord.
Okay. Great example as far as medical things.
Yeah, I'm getting off.
Ridiculous.
Hold on.
Is if you ever want to.